Kamenetsky Brothers Podcast, Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky, coming to you Friday ahead, just ahead, Andy, of the start of the 2013-2014 NBA regular season.
It's a little disappointing, Brian, because quite frankly, this preseason has knocked my socks off.
Really has.
I kind of don't want the regular games to begin.
It's been so good. The entertainment value of these games has just... Give me more Lakers Jazz preseason. I can't get enough.
Call me an outside-the-box thinker, Brian, but I could easily go for 20 to 30 preseason games, 50-game regular season.
I say why not. All right, so coming up in today's episode, the 2013-2014 NBA Preview Spectacular. That's what we will be tackling today, Andy, on the podcast. Five of the most pressing questions facing Laker fans.
And then, Andy...
NBA fans. This one's for everyone.
Right. And then from there, we peel back the layers of that onion even further. And we go deeper, deeper, deeper till you eventually just get sick.
Well, you get to the other side of the onion. You just go all the way through.
I guess that's China.
Something like that. Of course, down there, they just call it food.
No, but if you dig a hole, eventually you end up in China.
No,
I think if you just peel back the onion
far
enough.
By the way, geologically speaking, is not true.
We tried.
First of all, it depends. Really, it's very important if you're going to try to know exactly where you are and in what direction you're digging. But generally speaking, you cannot dig a hole to China. You can dig a hole in China, but not to China.
Actually, depending on where you are in China and what the government says, you may not be allowed to dig a hole in China. You should ask first.
So we'll have the preview spectacular coming up also. Ask a Kamenetsky. And all of that coming up, Andy, after today's headlines. Starting off, Andy, he was once a guest on the Lando Lakers podcast, Royce Young, an interesting fellow.
Royce White. Royce Young was our editor at ESPN at one point.
Was he ever a guest on our show?
No.
Not even the old one?
Royce Webb was the editor. Royce Young was the Daily Thunder and also works at CBS.
Royce Young was, in fact, once a guest on our blog in one way, shape, or form.
That is true.
Some stuff with us. He was not, though, cut by the Philadelphia 76ers this week. Royce White was cut.
Royce Webb has neither been a guest nor cut by the Sixers.
An interesting story. Obviously, most people know about it. The anxiety disorder, the fear of flying. And he was traded, Andy, by the Houston Rockets, the team that drafted him. He never played for them. To Philadelphia, it was seen as a potentially good fit because Sam Hinkie, the GM there, was the GM when White was drafted by the Rockets. Obviously, it didn't work.
No, and you wonder, too, just how much Royce White lost in that season loss with Houston, because by all accounts from what I've read with Philadelphia, he had been very cooperative. The travel issue wasn't being seen as a big hindrance for him as far as making the team. He didn't go to Europe with them.
But
I think it was mutually agreed upon by everybody. By everything I had read, Royce White was being very cooperative, and there was no problems with him in the franchise. He just didn't play particularly well. So you wonder, really, if he's really behind the eight ball to a point where he can't recover. Obviously, he's a young guy. There could be other opportunities down the road, particularly if his attitude seems good and he seems like he'd be easier to work with. But you know, it's disappointing. We both liked him when we had him on and rooting for the best for him. Brian, the Washington Post is reporting that the demand for shark fin soup, a very controversial delicacy in China,
a place where you should not dig holes without permission.
Absolutely. It has plummeted due to the efforts of various wildlife conservation groups and people, including Chinese icon Yao Ming, who's been very active in this fight against shark fin soup. I'm personally glad to see this happen in any documentary or article I've ever seen about the
making.
It's horrifying.
They take the sharks, slice off that top fin, and then throw them back in the ocean to die. It's an awful, awful thing. And good for Yao Ming for helping do that.
It did make me wonder, though, Brian, is there a very exotic or odd food that you've either tried and would like to share with the listeners, or you would actually like to try and haven't yet?
I've heard intriguing things about bird's nest soup.
Yeah.
Not that it's, you know, but that's a delicacy that has to be. It's really intricate and hard to do and very expensive. I've heard it doesn't taste very good, but, you know, it's one of those things that's so exotic. I think I'd like to give that a try.
I have no desire to actually taste it, but I have to admit, Brian, I have wondered what human flesh does taste like.
All right. J.R. Smith gets a talking to Andy from Carmelo Anthony. That is weird and creepy, particularly given all the zombie shows that are on these days. Following a 5-game drug suspension.
I don't plan to act on it.
That's not even a little bit.
It sounds
funny.
So vague. No, I'm giving the vague GM talk. I have no plans at this point to eat human
Phil
flesh.
Jackson. who says things like that? That he had a, quote, heart-to-heart with longtime teammate J.R. Smith when news surfaced. Again, Smith had been suspended for 5 games, violating the NBA's anti-drug policy, as opposed to their pro-drug policy. Carmelo reportedly delivered a dose of tough love to J.R. Smith during the conversation. The time is now, Anthony said, he told Smith, according to ESPN.com. You've got to want to help yourself. Everybody else wants to help you. But if you don't want to help yourself, that defeats the purpose. Andy, the Knicks, obviously, they're going to get past the 5 seed in the Eastern Conference, I should say, which nobody believes they're going to do. They need J.R. Smith to be good. If they're going to advance in the playoffs, they need to be better than he was last year when he was a disaster in the postseason. Is there a chance that the Carmelo Anthony intervention talking to actually makes an impact with J.R. Smith?
Well, he did go hugs, not drugs, and that's always been, I think, a very recommended strategy. Look, Mike Woodson earlier in this preseason said that he wanted J.R., quote, to grow up and do the right things. J.R. Smith is 28 years old. He is closer to 30 than he is 20. He's been in the league a long time. At this point, J.R. Smith is all grown up, and he's all grown up, and he's all grown up. He is who he is at this point. He is nobody I'd ever want to rely on for anything of importance, much less getting past the 5 seed.
Unless you need drugs, in which case he's somebody you can rely
exactly.
on for that.
I have no faith in JR to do the right thing. Every time I've talked to him, he's been a really nice
guy.
Seems
like it. And,
absolutely.
You know, and all that, but
he ain't a Swiss watch.
No.
Brian, finally, the annual GM survey was released a couple days ago on NBA.com, and it was a very uninspiring survey from a Laker-centric point of view. First of all, they're barely represented at all, whether you're talking about like best team in the West, team most likely to win blank. You know, Steve Blake got a couple votes for current NBA player who could one day become a great coach. Steve Nash is very smart. But I think
the most times you see the Lakers in the GM survey this year is in all the things like where it says last year's winner, like last year's pick to win the Western Conference. Lakers, 87%. Last year's pick to win a title. Lakers, 57%. It just reminds you, man, it did not go well last year.
No, it did not. But the most of the headlines, Brian, came from the fact that Kobe Bryant was second in a couple of very big categories. First of all, second, according to most GMs, for the guy that you want to take the crucial last shot in the game. He was number 2 behind Kevin Durant. By the way, Kevin Durant is the guy that you want. I mean, he's the best, probably the best pure scorer in the game, and he can get a shot from anywhere along the court. He's a better outside shooter. I'd pick Durant.
I always think this is funny, though, too, because it's not like you have a choice with Kobe. I mean, he's going to take the last shot. You know, I want that guy. This isn't picking the guy who comes off the bench and takes the free throws, you know, in those weird technical foul situations. Kobe's going to take the last shot. So I don't even know why they vote on this thing.
And then the really big one, Brian, according to GMs in this National Basketball Association,
or at least the people who fill out the surveys for them,
second best shooting guard in the league behind James Harden of Houston. Blasphemy.
Well, no, not really. And Kobe,
I'm speaking for Laker fans.
Kobe addressed this week when he said he expects that most GMs think he's going to be playing on one leg, which, by the way, he currently is. And I obviously, if you're starting a team right now, you pick James Harden over Kobe Bryant, if nothing else, because he's like 12 years younger or whatever it is. And so there's that issue. And, you know, Harden at this point is a more dynamic player. He's a better defensive player and all this other stuff. But before Lakers fans get too upset, I would like to remind you, Kobe has 20 years of mileage on him in terms of playoff minutes and regular season minutes. He's 35 years old. He's coming off an injury that typically devastates people of his age and in his sport. And he's still second. Second in two really high profile, you know, sexy categories in a GM survey. I actually think you're better off as a Laker fan looking at it like, how effing good has Kobe Bryant been over the course of his career? How good was he last year? That he's still second despite all that stuff.
And he still is number one, according to most GMs, when it comes to toughest player in the league. And by the way,
I think he sealed that up last year with the whole free throw.
Well deserved. Was there anything else that stood out to you, Brian?
I thought the and we'll get into this with the big preview thing. The other thing that I thought was interesting was that I think it's 3 out of 4, a little over 75% of the GMs picked Miami to win the title this year. And again, I don't want to get too deep into it because we'll get to it in a few seconds here. But no team has gone to the finals 4 straight times, let alone one, just gone to the finals 4 straight times since the Lakers and Celtics each did it in the 80s. And so history says this is a very difficult thing to do. Dwayne Wade's walking around on one, you know, crookedy knee and whatever. And if he's not healthy, it's going to be harder and harder. The Eastern Conference is better and all that stuff. I'm a little surprised that there weren't more guys that maybe took a nod to history and said, I'm just taking the field.
Well, maybe these guys don't actually know the history. They didn't go to basketballreference.com, look this stuff up. To me, Brian, it's that only 89.7% of GMs, when asked the question, if you were starting a franchise today and could sign any one player, who would you pick? Only 89.7% chose LeBron James. 6.9% went to Kevin Durant. 3.4% Kyrie Irving. It should be 100% LeBron James. I don't care if he's 3 years older than Durant or 6 or 7 ahead of Kyrie Irving. He is the best player in the league by far. He is the most automatic when it comes to putting you in the conversation to get a championship. And he's in his prime. Get him now. Get the titles now. Worry about the later. If you pick anybody other than LeBron as a GM, if this actually comes up, you should be fired on the spot.
Yeah, it's
period.
Sometimes you just don't need to be a contrarian. You just don't have to. All right, those are your NBA headlines for today, which means it is now time for your 2013-2014 Lando Lakers NBA Preview Spectacular. Grandiose, don't you think? I like
absolutely
that.
Yeah, I think we came off properly pompous.
Yeah, I think that, and that was certainly the idea. All right, we got 5 big questions and then a couple little rapid fire things at the end to make sure we cover every single aspect of what should be a very exciting season. Question number one, Andy.
We're going to treat it like we treat a Chinese onion.
Yeah, we're gonna get right to the big issues first for the local fans, of course. Do the Lakers make the playoffs?
Dramatic pause.
No, I got you.
They could make the playoffs, Brian.
That was not the question.
I know, but I'm putting it out there. They could, but gun to my head, I'm going to say no. I think they're going to actually miss the playoffs.
Do you really even need a gun to your head to come up with that?
Well,
is it that hard for you? Is it that close, is what I'm saying?
No.
Where you need a gun to your head.
It's actually more when you take into account just how sensitive Laker fans get about this stuff and just how aggro they can get in their reaction.
So basically you're lying. You just want to make it seem like it's a tough decision for you.
No. I'm saying I'd prefer not to actually answer it unless there was a gun to my head forcing me to actually answer it in the first place. Because again, I just assume not get their dander up.
I would like to take the last part of the question first.
They could make the playoffs, but the problem is it feels like there are so many what ifs surrounding this team as far as getting either that 7 or 8 spot, because there are 6 teams right now that, unless something goes spectacularly wrong
for
them,
Oklahoma City, San Antonio, Clippers, Memphis, Golden State, Houston.
Exactly.
All clearly better than the Lakers.
Right. So
no question
about it. The Lakers are looking for 7-8, and it just feels like right now there are so many question marks with this team, so many what-ifs, number one being health, and for a lot of guys down the line, forget just Kobe and the whole we don't know when he's going to come back.
Right,
much
which, by the way, this week took an interesting turn that I don't think Lakers fans really enjoyed.
Right. He has dialed back some of his workout, right, conditioning issues, things like that. I think it's safe to say he will not be available for the opener.
No. Any of those, you know, Kobe parachuting in from the Jumbotron type scenarios or emerging Willis Reed-like from the tunnel on opening night to inspire the crowd. No, that's not going to happen.
But beyond the Kobe factor, and that's a big factor.
That's a big, but let's set that aside for a moment.
Steve Nash is already dinged up, already dealing with health issues, is playing half of games, not participating in full practices. That's a big deal when one of the things that maybe could help them rebound was you finally get a training camp with Steve Nash teaching these guys how to work in Mike D'Antoni's system.
You get Steve Nash and his ability, and all these other things.
He's not looked good in the preseason.
No, he's looked very ordinary. And, Powell is coming off knee surgery and all these other things. But then you go deeper into the roster. Jordan Hill has been a guy who's been banged up. Nick Young has lost chunks of season before to injury.
Chris Kaman, Steve Blake.
It's not just the big three, so to speak.
The big old three.
Right, that are an injury risk. It's the whole thing. And last year, I hear a lot of people say, well, last year everything went wrong, and they still won 45 games. That's true. Except last year's team had Dwight Howard and meta world peace and is better than this year's. And I don't care what people say about...
And that team had Kobe until the last two games healthy.
And playing at the peak of his ability. Kobe played extraordinarily well last year, I thought. You have all of those
things...
The
team also had Earl Clark.
That is true. All of those things working for you while all those other things were working against you. And I don't care what people say about, the team chemistry and all of that stuff and addition by subtraction and so on. Yeah, they're all going to get along better this year than they did last year with Dwight out of the picture.
It would be almost impossible not to.
But this is a talent league, Andy. And when you take away talent, you generally get worse. Subtraction, when you're talking about talent, is generally subtraction. It's not addition by subtraction. And so they're worse than they were last year. You can't use last year as a template. And there is no reason necessarily to think that all of that, like last year was as bad as it could possibly go, that you couldn't get some sort of repeat where they have a lot of injuries this year and stuff like that, because we're already seeing it. So I think their highest end puts them in the mid to high 40s. And then you start working backwards from there, and they're already doing that because if Kobe misses, say, 20 games, which, by the way, would still be a pretty miraculous recovery from his injury, I don't think they can even make that up and still get in the playoffs. There are too many good teams. I know you have a lot of opinions on that. There are too many good teams that they're competing with to get in the playoffs.
Yeah, and right now to me, the two that I think stand out the most in terms of knocking them out, first of all, the Portland Trail Blazers. One, because LaMarcus Aldridge told Yahoo's Mark Spears, a great basketball reporter over there, that they are going to be the seventh seed. He picked the seventh seed.
It's very specific.
Exactly. Like, you wonder if LaMarcus Aldridge has a prop bet in Vegas.
Like, what happens if they surprise people and they're actually contending for the sixth seed?
I think what's going to happen is you're going to see LaMarcus Aldridge miss a lot of bunnies.
Whoa, what? No, can't do that. He's on my fantasy team.
He's going to play very, very Olay defense.
Once again, LaMarcus Aldridge shoots on the wrong basket.
Look, everybody, whether you're talking media, players, nobody likes to be wrong with their predictions.
That's true. But it is, and it's also kind of, too, it's a little bit of like low act. Like, you're supposed to say, man, no, we can get out there and shock the world and go win a title. Nobody says we're going to be the seventh seed.
Again, he was very specific about this.
I mean, I know they're trying to make the playoffs back there and restart a winning tradition and all that, but again, man, come on, aim higher. Well, we are going to be the seventh seed with a bullet, people. Come out here and support your... it's not the Rose Garden anymore.
No,
it's some awful name. While you're talking, I'll look it up.
But their starting lineup with Lillard, Wes Matthews, Nick Batum, LaMarcus Aldridge, and now Robin Lopez in the middle. Assuming they all stay healthy, that's a very good starting lineup that I think will be a little bit better defensively. And the one thing they needed to pick up was their bench. They needed much more depth. And Neil O'Shea, their GM, typically the case, he made it happen. They brought in Darrell Wright, Thomas Robertson, Robinson. Mo Williams, they should be a better team, assuming everyone stays healthy. I think that they're going to end up making the playoffs. And then from there, I would say Denver. just because
they lost some guys, but they won 50. They got a long way. 57 wins last year.
Unless you think George Karl and Andre Iguodala together, their absence equals about 15 games, and maybe it
Gallo's hurt. There's some, you know.
But still, I think in the end, they're probably going to find a way to get in. And then there's still teams like New Orleans,
Minnesota. Very intriguing. Dallas is a decent team. You know, they were a 500 team last year.
Right.
With a lot of things going wrong themselves, and they should be a little bit better this year. For nothing else, Dirk is healthy.
Right. I'm predicting Portland and Denver, but those other teams mentioned too. New Orleans especially, they're very top heavy, but if that top can manage to play together, their top five or six guys make up a really good team.
Yeah, and the Kobe factor just really can't be overstated, because we did a podcast with Steve Mason yesterday for ESPN LA, our former employers, where, you know, Ramona Shelburne, it was a big party line kind of thing, and Ramona Shelburne, a great columnist over there, she made a point that if they get out of the box slowly, let's say we all, you know, whatever, however long you think Kobe's going to miss, but they, over the first 15 games, they're just not winning much. They're under 500. They're in an early hole. Kobe may not rush back at that point, and nor should he, because you can't, again, this year, you can't rescue. Look,
it seems as it is like Kobe isn't rushing back. He wants to be out there,
right,
but he's not being risky about this at all. It doesn't seem, at least.
And so if that happens, then, you know, the Vegas line, I think, is 33.5 for their over.
It strikes me as
wins.
A little low,
but I tell you what, it's a lot easier to picture 33.5 than it is, say, 48. 50, you know, like the bottom end of the bell curve is easier to picture than the top end.
I would agree.
That's just sort of how it is.
So you don't picture them making the playoffs either?
I don't even need it. I don't need anything to my head. I just don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I don't think they're necessarily going to be an awful train wreck 15-win team, but you got to be really good this year. I don't know if – I think you're going to have to win 45 games probably to get in, and I don't think they can do it. Eastern and Western Conference champions, Andy. This is not an easy one.
This is not
as easy as you might think. It's not as easy as it was last year when everyone just said Lakers and Miami and moved on.
Eastern Conference, Brian, I am going to buck history and say the Miami Heat, even though every single reason that you gave for the Heat not being able to get there 4 years in a row, all valid, and I think the Indiana Pacers and Chicago Bulls are going to be very good teams this year. For some reason, though, with the way LeBron? Well, but in particular, I'm not going to say
there's something about that team that I just think they have a little something.
No.
It's those two titles that they've won and LeBron James.
No, but I was going to say there's something about the arc of that team since LeBron has been there that makes me feel like they can manage to get there one more time before having to, I think, dramatically retool.
Honestly, it's less about it's a fact that I don't trust Wade's knee. And I you saw what LeBron had to do to overcome last year to kind of carry Wade through those moments where he needed to be carried. I don't know if you can do that again. And you mentioned Chicago and Indiana, and Brooklyn, I think, is part of that conversation, not because I think they're going to win a title, just because I think they're a tougher out in the playoffs.
But anyway,
than other teams might have been last year, than the fourth seed last year in the playoffs, for example. If they have to, I think a lot of it depends on the order. Like if Chicago and Indiana play each other, which is certainly a possibility, and Miami only has to play one of those teams, then I think they get through. They have a much better chance, at least. If they have to play those teams,
sure,
where they just beat the crap out of you, and I'm not sure which one would actually win, whichever one I guess came second, then I think it's tougher. So some of those things.
I want to
take the field, and I think there's a good chance the field will be the answer. But I still think in the end, you know, the right pick is Miami until Miami loses.
Okay.
It's kind of a lame way to go.
It's not kind of, Brian.
I can't choose in Chicago. Are they better? No. Indiana. I'd say if it's not them, it would be Indiana.
I completely agree.
But yeah, . All right. Western Conference, though. Western Conference, it's hashtag analysis. Western Conference, this is brutal. I know who my pick is to win the conference regular season home court advantage thing, but picking a finals representative, good freaking luck. It's hard.
But we got to do it.
That's true, because it's the question number three. Go ahead.
I'm going to take the Clippers. Actually, I think this is the year they finally break through. They've got, a better suited roster for the talents of Blake Griffin and especially Chris Paul. And I think Doc Rivers' presence there. The biggest problem the Clippers have had is, I think, both with their schemes and just generally speaking, they have not always been on the same page. I think Doc Rivers is going to be able to get everybody on the same page.
Oh, yeah.
Following one
he's
voice.
Worth, he's worth four or five wins
exactly.
easily by himself.
Following one voice, his own. And I think that's going to lead to that breakthrough. I think they're actually going to come out of the West.
I think that's my team. That
and then
I think,
the Earth will spin on its axis.
That's the team that I think will win they will win the most games in the Western Conference.
Sure.
I think they will have home court advantage throughout the playoffs. Oklahoma City is going to be behind the eight ball with Westbrook's injury. And San Antonio isn't going to push for it. If they're there at the end of the season and they have a shot at it, you know, they'll play. But they're not going to push it. And so they don't care where they don't care at all where they play. Golden State, that's a big leap. That's a big leap from where they were last year. I think 47, 48 wins to 60 plus, which is probably what it could take to win it this year. You know, I love the Clippers to win the regular season title for whatever that is. But so much of it's
make
matchup.
A damn choice.
This is how you do it. You draw people in. If they draw Memphis, for example, if they draw some of these other teams, these matchups are so, you know, Golden State, all that stuff. I will say,
oh, for God's sake, stop hedging.
Not hedging. I'm explaining why it's difficult. The matchups, there are six teams that I think conceivably could get out of the Western Conference. You see, Andy, when James Naismith first invented the game,
Ted Cruz, stop filibustering and give a damn answer.
He was trying to keep his people in shape because it was very cold in Springfield.
Eggs and Ham before this is done.
Clippers, sure. I mean, they have the home court.
I hate you.
I'll say the Clippers. I have no strong opinion here. And what's really funny is if you look through every one of these previews that I look through, like each team that you read seems to be eliminated in the second round. When you read Western Conference previews, every team.
So the answer is nobody.
Nobody is apparently getting out of the West because the conference is too hard. Every team is being eliminated in the second round or at best the Western Conference Finals. It's going to be Miami versus Indiana. I think that's how this is going to play out. Because the Western Conference is so good, nobody is going to win.
Yeah, there's no question. But, it's really
have
good.
Have you noticed that?
I mean, yes.
I just don't see them getting out of the Western Conference is so tough. I don't see them getting out of the second round.
As rounds progress, teams die.
Right. It's just like somebody's got to do it.
Okay, Brian, dark horse candidates for the East or the West. Teams that, you know, they're definitely not the favorite, but you could maybe picture getting out.
All right, here's the deal. I think the West is so stacked and everybody knows about them. I think Golden State is very difficult to call a dark horse. I think a lot of people now, they're kind of the sexy unconventional pick to go to get out of the West. Like if you want to go a little bit off the grid, you could say Houston, but it's hard to say James Harden and Dwight Howard is exactly, you know, a dark horse. It's like we all know they're coming. They're a horse of normal pigmentation, I think. So really what you're talking about, I think, is that team that nobody would want to play. That sort of proverbial team that nobody wants to play in the playoffs type thing. You know, who's going to be that, you know, and it's not the Lakers this year. They're going to be so bad defensively, even if they get in, teams will be more than happy to play them. I actually think it's Portland, the team that you mentioned before, because that starting lineup is really good. And if you get a little bit of progression from Lillard and Batum, and then the bench pans out, a guy like Thomas Robinson kind of...
Who's looked very good in the preseason.
Realizes some...
And he's very pissed off about how much he's been traded.
And he gets some of that. You know, then they become a very interesting team, probably maybe other than Minnesota. I think it's another team that, you know, the problem is Minnesota, they're not going to be very good defensively either. Portland may not be that great, but Lopez will help them in the middle. I think Portland has the best chance to be a team that isn't part of the big six, so to speak, that would have the best chance for an upset in the playoffs.
I'm going to say Houston, Brian, and they may be part of the big six, but I would say they're still a dark horse.
By the way, I just invented that term.
I know. The big six.
The big six.
But I would say that
Feel free, everyone, to go ahead and use it.
I would say that they are definitely a dark horse, though, because generally speaking, it takes reconfigured teams more than a year to end up going that far. So if they actually did manage to get out of the West, that would be overcoming some pretty big history and pretty big odds if Dwight Howard and James Harden managed to complement each other that well off the bat. If they managed to, you know, Dwight Howard managed to erase a lot of their defensive mistakes that quickly in defensive issues. So my dark horse is going to be Houston. It's okay. Tough to picture, but I could maybe talk myself into it for the East, Brian.
All right. Really, in reality, the bottom four in that kind of, whoever makes the playoffs in the bottom four has literally not a rat's ass chance in hell of actually winning the Eastern Conference. But if you're looking for a team that, if a few weird things happen, I do think Brooklyn is set up that if they stay healthy, they have enough guys that if, you know, Derrick Rose isn't healthy, Wade gets hurt, something happens to Miami, they are a good enough team to get through. I kind of went a little bit off the grid here because there's, so, you know, again,
Bobcats.
We not that off the grid. The team that I think every year there's a team that you look at it and they have all these like moving parts and weird things that happen. And on some nights they are like the worst basketball team ever. And then on some nights they just annihilate someone that they have absolutely no business beating. And I think that team this year is Orlando. And you look at them, and they're going to win probably 25 games, I think maybe 30 over the course of
those. Which, by the way,
still
gets you into the Eastern Conference playoffs.
it's like a six seed.
You know,
Washington, like people like looking at Washington as a team that should jump up into the playoffs, but they're going to be a seven seed and get waxed at the beginning, and it doesn't matter. I think Orlando could be one of the, it's like they're going to be a team that 12 of those 25 wins are going to be against teams that they have no business beating because they have guys like Vucevic, Oladipo, Harkless, Harris,
Nicholson.
Nicholson, Aaron Aflalo is a solid player. And when those parts kind of mesh,
Hedo Turkoglu,
not that part. When we made fun of them, of Rob Hennigan, not we didn't because we were like, man, I would not touch Andrew Bynum with like a 6,000-foot pole. It's a very long pole. And
a pole from China after digging a hole
right,
over
just,
there.
That just went no part of that. He was so smart to avoid Andrew Bynum.
Oh, God, yeah.
But you know what? That's a pretty interesting young group of guys that they have there. They're all like 7 years old. They're all super bouncy. And they have some talent there. And they're going to beat 12 or 13 teams over the course of the year that they have absolutely no business beating.
To me, it's actually much simpler than that. It's the Nets by
deep. Are you saying that my explanation maybe was a little too convoluted?
A little bit. But to me, it's the Nets just by default because there is no other team that you can even make a what-if argument coming out of the East. The Knicks, no. Atlanta, no. Pistons, no.
Cavaliers, Atlanta won't be bad. Just nobody will care. Millsap's a good signing. Lou Williams will come back
no
at some point.
There is no way in hell that team's getting out of the East.
Dennis Schroeder?
There is.
Or is it Schroeder?
Doesn't matter.
Schroeder.
There's no way in hell you can even convince yourself that any team other than Brooklyn could get out of
the
East.
Which is why I kind of went off the grid there.
I can barely convince myself that
they
could.
Oh, it's not going to happen. They're just the next best team.
But they're the only one. Everyone else, forget it. That conference still sucks.
They're the only team that could beat the top three in a playoff.
Exactly. But they can't.
Bold award prediction. Question number five of the preview. Bold award prediction, Andy.
LeBron James will win Defensive Player of the Year. And that may not seem like a bold prediction, just the idea of giving LeBron any type of award.
You're right.
Except
it doesn't.
It is, but it is bold because perimeter players, no matter how good they are, never win this award. In the last 25 years, since 1988, three players who aren't big men won this award. Michael Jordan in 88, Gary Payton in 96, then Ron Artest in 2004. That's it. Otherwise, all fours and fives. Even though LeBron could play four or five, he's still considered a perimeter player.
No, that's true.
And that'd be an upset.
And it would be interesting, Andy, if he did that, because my bold prediction is that LeBron James will not win MVP this year. And it's not because he won't be the best player in the league. He will be. What happens is after a certain point in time, people get tired of voting for the same guy.
Yes, they do.
Kevin Durant will carry the Thunder through the beginning of the season when Westbrook can't play, through that part of the year where Westbrook is getting his legs back under him and all that stuff, and his numbers will be spectacular. He'll get a lot more respect, and people will pick that storyline and go through it the rest of the year. Kevin Durant, number one. LeBron, number two. James Harden, three.
Interesting.
Over under on Nick Young assists at 78. Andy.
Under. Because Nick Young is going to start out this season looking to fill a void for Kobe Bryant, specifically the scoring void, and he's going to pass even less than usual.
His career high is 95 in the one season he played 82. He averaged 1.2 that year. His high for an average is 1.4. I think if Nick Young plays a full complement of games, though, Andy, this year, he will crack the 78 mark.
Number of games before Kobe shivs Nick Young because of his shot selection and general swaggy penis.
Seven.
Ooh.
Wow, we're keeping that. Oh. Wow. That's what she said.
That is really not... That is not how I meant it.
Let me tell you, sir, that is one swaggy penis.
That is not how I meant it. And I really...
Things you should never say in the gym.
And I really doubt it's the reason in the end that Kobe will shiv Nick Young. I doubt it's going to come down to that.
I hope you don't mind my looking, sir, but that is one swaggy penis you've got there.
Huh.
Because I know you take notes. Did you write that down?
No.
Okay. Because I would like to think you would have seen what that would have looked like.
No, I did not.
Said out loud. I will say 8 games.
No. I'm going to say 65 because he's going to string Nick Young along until the playoffs look completely out of reach, just out of necessity for his own needs. Then he will shiv Nick Young.
He's going to Lorena Bobbitt his swaggy penis. How good will Dwight Howard be this season?
Very good. He's going to be comfortable. He's going to feel wanted. He and Chandler Parsons have already exchanged friendship bracelets. He'll listen to Kevin McHale.
Dwight, let me tell you something. I don't want to get too personal here, but that is one swaggy penis you've got there. I don't know if Kobe and the other guys mentioned that to you last year, but you, sir, have a swaggy penis about you.
It only took one preseason post-game showering for me to realize just how swaggy that penis is.
Oh, man, alive. Yeah, he's going to be spectacular. He's my judge. He's going to win deep. He's going to be the defensive player of the year. He's going to allow Houston to make that leap defensively. He's going to play very well. And because he's been crushed so consistently, I actually think the media will sort of come around on him again and start pumping him up, particularly if the Lakers struggle, which they probably will.
With that in mind, Brian, how will Dwight Howard play during his first return to Staples Center?
Yeah, that game comes, Andy, on February 19th. Not surprisingly, a game that will be on national television. Also not surprising, but this is great. And, you know, when people say, you know, the NBA schedules things kind of on purpose, and they do, the first two games the Lakers play against the Rockets early in the season before Kobe might come back, and they're both in Houston. So I think he will play okay. I think he'll do... maybe not his best game of the year, but I think we will see boos, the level of which have never been experienced inside Staples Center for any event, for anything, including professional wrestling, anything. There will be more boos for Dwight Howard than anything ever in that building, or perhaps any other building in Los Angeles.
It'll be like gladiator
ever.
Times.
I mean, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I think he is going to end up rounding out the game well. I think he's going to start out with a lot of nerves, but then probably get better as the game goes along. He played pretty well his first trip back to Orlando.
That's true.
And that was a game where he was not well received.
No. If Guinness could measure this sort of thing. I mean, Kwame Brown is going to be like, man, those guys are brutal.
Well, he used to get booed while he's still on the Lakers.
That was my point. He might be the guy who has been booed more than anybody in Staples Center. I tried to think of this when we put this question down. I couldn't. Who has been booed more than anybody? And the guy I kept coming back to was Kwame.
Yeah, I actually think it is Kwame. He still gets a brutal time when he comes back to Staples Center. It's like, at this point, man, let it go.
Yeah.
He got us Powell. Pau Gasol wouldn't be here without Kwame. Plus, he's a really nice guy.
He is very nice. All right, Andy, moving along. Date of Kobe's return, the number one question on everybody's mind.
December 8th, 20 games in, a Sunday versus the Toronto Raptors. That is a scenario that has treated Kobe very well in the past.
I'm going to say Thanksgiving, but I'm actually starting to feel like it's going to bleed a little bit into December. But my initial response was Thanksgiving. But I do think that point that Ramona made on the podcast, that if they're not playing well, he'll extend that by 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. I'd be shocked if it was after Christmas.
The must-see game of the year for the Lakers, Brian.
Car crash value, Dwight Howard's return to Staples Center on February 19th. The next one is January 16th. I'm very curious if he plays. What are people going to do to Andrew Bynum?
That is
when
very,
Cleveland comes to town.
And by the way,
what
too,
kind of reception is he going to get?
Andrew Bynum, you wonder if he's going to get the video reception. Because it's been
Didn't get it.
Yeah, it's been over a year because he didn't play. He didn't leave on great terms. Fans didn't exactly enjoy him. And by the way, too, he will be coached by Mike Brown in Mike Brown's first return to Staples Center since losing his job. It's an interesting team.
Moving along, Andy. Every year, the Lakers put a T-shirt. They hand those out to fans as they enter the arena on the first game of the season, Tuesday night, home game against the Clippers. And it always has a slogan on it. What should the slogan be this season?
To quote Nick Young with his swaggy penis, we going down a slide. We going down a slide. And it's the perfect slogan for them this year. If things are going well, it's fun. They're going down a slide. If things are going poorly,
it's
we going down a slide. And like Nick Young, we crashed.
Everybody wins. I'm going to pull a page from Cubs fans and other failed baseball teams. My vote, wait till next summer. That's basically what we're all doing
in
the summer
is.
Of 2014.
Who will play more games this season, Brian? Steve Nash or Andrew Bynum?
This is a really painful question to ask. It's a tough one. I'm going to say Nash, but I'm worried it won't be by much because if Bynum plays 60 games this year, I'll be impressed.
I'm going to say Steve Nash, if only because I think Nash actually cares more about getting on the court than Andrew Bynum. I think Bynum looks at the money that he could make just by missing this entire season and go, I'm good.
Does Kobe make all NBA?
Yes, third team.
Wow, I'm going to say no because I don't think he's going to get enough games. On the other hand,
I think if he plays enough games, he'll get it out of respect.
Yeah, I don't think there are enough dudes. You're right. He probably will get. I think you're right about that, and I am wrong. Potential free agent of this or next summer, Andy, in which fans become most deeply invested because, as I mentioned, that's basically the sport for this year for Lakers fans.
Kevin Love, because they've already been treating Minnesota as being cornered and needing to trade him for the last few years, despite the fact that Kevin Love has been on a long-term deal and there's been absolutely no need for the Wolves to move him. So it's Kevin Love.
Yeah, I agree. The Kevin Love train has left the station. Woo, woo! Woo, woo.
And finally, Brian, the best team to watch on League Pass. And finally, Brian, the best team this season to watch on League Pass and the worst team to watch on League Pass.
Woo, woo. I'm going to say the best team is the Golden State Warriors. If I can only pick one team to watch 82 times this year, it will be the Golden State Warriors. I will buy their package and pray nightly for Steph Curry's ankles. I will not be purchasing the Charlotte Bobcats.
Golden State Warriors, for all the reasons you said, and quite frankly, I don't need to explain it. They're a lot of fun to watch. For me, the worst is, unless you are really that curious to see what Brad Stevens looks like as a coach, the Celtics will be murder to watch.
If nothing else but that you can watch Rondo, you get nothing.
When?
At some point, you get nothing from the Bobcats.
No, you know what? You get to watch Kemba Walker. You get to watch Michael Gilchrist. You get to wait for MJ to come back and make his playing debut.
If I might quote Robert De Niro, nothing! Anyway.
You blew it.
Nothing.
You blew it.
All right. That, Andy, was the 2013-2014 NBA preview spectacular. I really think that the gravitas of this podcast merits that sort of trumpet play.
Yeah, if anything, it wasn't enough considering the information that we provided and that type of insight.
That brings us to the last section of today's podcast, Andy. We do it every week. It's called Ask a Kamenetsky. The first question comes from at you just ass. Or you just ass. Or you just ass. I'm not really sure how the proper pronunciation of that. Who would you trade faces with? Assume that, like in Face Off, you trade voices to and the other person gets your face.
Okay, well, Brian, I was thinking about this, and it needs to be a face that I think fits what I feel is like my persona. And, you know, I don't feel like, not just because I've never been one, but I don't feel like I can really relate to a pretty boy. So I wouldn't choose, say, somebody like Brad Pitt, Johnny Depp, Leonardo DiCaprio. All handsome men, terrific voices, but it just doesn't feel like me. But then in thinking about somebody maybe a little more ruggedly or unconventionally handsome, because by the way, I'm going to make myself better looking. That is a given. But you still want to pick somebody fairly, because that person's...
Rowan Atkinson!
Be a clown, be a clown, be a clown. Whoever you pick.
Otis Nixon.
Wow, that was mean but accurate.
Sam Cassell.
Whoever you pick for this.
Yeah, that would be weird looking.
especially too, because you end up with a black
on top.
Black pants and a white body.
That is not swaggy penis.
Whoever you get, Brian, whoever I trade faces with, they get mine. And while I don't consider myself necessarily an ugly person, I don't want to put that on somebody that seems, if nothing else, like a nice enough guy. For example, Javier Bardem. I think he's, you know, rugged, unconventionally good-looking guy. I know a lot of women like him. But he seems like a good guy, and I don't want to give him my face. So what I've decided I'm going to do is switch faces with Russell Crowe. Because I get his face, you know, rugged, good-looking guy. I get his voice, good voice. I get his hair. And from everything I've heard, that guy is an asshole. So I have no problems giving him my
face and my head. What's the name of
that
creature in Goonies?
I don't remember.
But you could switch with him.
The Sizzlack or whatever? That's Moe's last name.
I don't care. I don't care about any of that stuff about giving somebody my face. I'm not really concerned about that. I just want to get better looking. So I'm taking Clooney.
That's not a bad call.
I mean, you can't go wrong with George Clooney.
By the way, I hope you get the part where you trade lives with George Clooney. From at TJF Sports, Brian, you're on a cliff. Three things are dangling off ropes: your wife, your parents, and a bus of 50 children. Who do you save? Go ack!
That was part of the question. It was actually the hashtag go, hashtag ack. This is a very, very difficult question. It is, no question, Andy, a little grim.
Except for the part at the end with go ack.
Right. This is a tough one. I think, though, because you have the whole thing about, you know, the value of 50 lives versus the value of two or one, and the value of 50 young lives versus people who've lived a little and all that. I think you got to save the bus full of children, don't you?
No, for me, I'm going to end up saving my wife, because with a daughter...
Such a kiss ass.
With a daughter, there is no way I can spend the rest of my life explaining to my daughter how I let mommy die. And while obviously I'd be very upset about my parents going... They're at least older now, and maybe you could justify they've lived a very full life. They got to raise you and me.
Oh, well, that's a full life.
They probably would prefer that.
I'm
we just drop them.
I'm hanging off there already.
And then, to be honest with the kids, yes, losing 50 kids is a tragedy until you think about the fact that at least one of those kids is probably going to grow up to be a criminal. There's probably one of them who will end up like a serial killer. One will end up a dirty politician. Some of them are just going to end up miserable in their adult lives anyway. So, and then
you're
when
doing them and us a favor,
especially too when you think about the fact that this is 50 kids who are riding a school bus as part of the LA public school system. Probably a lot of them are kind of
doesn't necessarily.
I'm
say
saving
LA.
Them in LA. I'm saving them in LA. That's where I'm most likely to end up in the scenario. Probably these kids are pretty screwed anyway.
Yeah, so now you're sacrificing 50 children after 40 minutes ago eating human flesh. This is a good podcast for you.
Final ack of the week,
Andy, from Ahima. If you weren't in the sports business, what other career would you have considered?
Thought about this a lot lately.
I think it's more fun. Yeah, it's like, what would you, more like, what would you want to do? I think it's more fun. Like, not what you, well, man, if I can't do this, maybe I'll go into here. Like, what would be the dream job, Andy?
Well, I mean, Brian, for a person like me who has so many different options, yes. If I decided to go
so
in a different direction.
So multifaceted.
I rank these. Top three. I'd say number one would be either a screenwriter or a television writer. That's what, you know, you and I had set out to do for a while, and then unexpectedly we ended up in a career with sports journalism, which has been great, but I would say number one, that's probably really, if I had to look inside my heart, it'd be what I'd want to do more than anything. Number two would be a high-end chef.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you get to exercise creativity. I love experimenting with food. I consider myself a reasonably good amateur chef. I enjoy cooking. It relaxes me. And then number three would be a psychologist, not the one where you have to go to med school, because I can't do that. But our mom, who I let go in the bus, she always felt that
mother of blessed memory.
She always felt that I would have been a very good psychologist. I consider myself good with people. I tend to understand them well. I'm a pretty empathetic person, but I also am pretty good at telling people what I think they need to hear as opposed to what they want to hear. I think I'd be a decent psychologist.
In the immortal words of George Costanza, Andy, I always wanted to be an architect. I think the concept of designing usable space for people to, whether it be houses or, you know, workspace or whatever it is fascinating. The way that buildings go from a drawing to an actual thing that you can walk around in and all that stuff, I think is amazing. It requires far more math than I was ever able to do, so that wasn't an option. And then after that, I once met a guy, Andy, and I think I've mentioned this before. I once
from
mentioned
Nantucket?
A guy who made a canoe. Like, actually made a canoe. Like, he had a piece of wood, and he did stuff to it until what was left was a canoe. And I think I would love to be able to make something. Like, right now, I have very little that I can offer people in terms of tangible skills. You give me something, and I can turn it into something else, like a furniture maker or, you know, I guess a shipbuilder of some sort. But something where you build things out of wood. All right, so that is ACK for this week. One more thing before we go. If you missed the announcement, the big announcement, we really should have covered this in the headlines, but can't see any of the big announcement this week.
No, it deserves its own section, Brian. The headlines doesn't do it justice.
I feel like we shouldn't have made people wait until this point in the podcast to learn this news.
What we can do, Brian, is once we're done talking about this, we can actually copy the section and present it at the beginning and then the end again.
Sasha Vujicic, who we all know and love.
And love to make fun
and
of.
And love and love and love to make fun of. Has released the first two bottles of his wine.
Alexander Wine. For people who don't realize it, Sasha's given name is Alexander.
Alexander. And it's two different kinds of wine. It's the Alexander regular and the Alexander Reserve. The first is $75. The latter is $95.
It's pretty bold, by the way, straight out of the gate when your cheapest bottle is $75. Sasha's always been a pretty cocky, confident guy, but man alive. They also offer olive oil.
Yes, they do. But you know, keep in mind, if you go to the website and it's alexanderwine.com, you will see a picture of Sasha Vujicic inspecting what apparently looks like him inspecting every grape that goes into every bottle,
including
Alexander
the 2010
wine.
Alexander, which is described as a wine of intensity, balance, and structure, much like proprietor and two-time NDA champion Sasha Vujicic.
This tastes like Sasha. I get notes of oak and cherry and blackberry
and headbands.
We both went there at the same time.
That picture, too, that you're talking about of Sasha inspecting the grapes comes in the section Our Story that lets you know exactly how Sasha decided to go into the wine and olive oil creating industry.
If you have the extra $25, I do recommend the Alexander Reserve. It is a wine, quote, to be savored slowly with or without an accompanying food. Don't feel boxed in. Don't feel like you're going to be limited. If you want to just get your drink on without eating anything, that's fine. It earns a comfortable spot in the category of luxury wine.
I so badly wanted the Our Story section to start out
As you know, in 2010, I was not happy about my minutes.
So I decided to make wine instead. I began drinking.
And I realized this wine is not bad.
This is delicious. I can make some myself.
Oh, God. We've got to make sure to show Kobe this website. He may not be aware. Although Sasha's probably been pestering Kobe every single day about the wine.
The most disappointing thing about this offseason was that the rumors that they would re-sign Sasha Vujacic never came true.
Oh, you got to repair him and Jordy.
Anyway, make sure you decant it in advance of drinking, but get yourself some
if
of that Alexander wine.
If it wasn't so pricey, I'd give it a go. But $75, I don't have that just to throw around for an experiment.
No.
Plus shipping and handling.
Yeah, even as a business expense for the Land O'Lakers empire, it is still, you know, a little more than we probably
and you know what?
Should
Best
be.
Of luck to Sasha. As much shit as we give him, he's a good guy.
He's
like
a very
him.
Good guy. But as somebody pointed out on Twitter, and I apologize for not remembering who, he is... the least self-aware Laker ever.
Oh.
Ever.
Just go to SashaVujacic18.com.
All right, we'll be back next week, Andy. Likely after the Lakers have played their first two games of the season. They open up Tuesday against the Clippers, turn around, play Golden State the next night up in Oakland, and then they get San Antonio at home on Friday. Very good chance they start 0-3. Not going to lie, people.
You know
there's
what?
A very good
after
chance.
After these three games, you know what you might need? A bottle of Alexander.
Right. Which, again, decant it first. It tastes better that way. But we'll be back
we'll
after
make
some
feel like
real
you have a
games
swaggy
are
penis.
Being played. And that is it. We'll see everybody next time.